Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened. Hold on just a second. Lost my place here. And listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good." The good portion, which will be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage, and we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us as your people, a needy people, to learn from your word. Father, we need you to teach us and to mold us and to make us more like Christ. And so we ask you for this gracious working in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear congregation, our culture is one of the busiest cultures in the world. We're very busy, and we take very few vacations. We work longer hours, we give more, and as Christians, we devote probably more time to our churches than any other nation. We're just like every other Christian in America here. We all pack our schedules full with more things than can be done. We pack them full of good things, God-ordained things, things that are pleasing to God, things that God calls us to do in our service to him. But in our service to him, we are in danger of neglecting the most important thing, sitting at Christ's feet. We are in danger of neglecting the one we claim to serve. And as Americans and as a church, we have serving down. But what we often don't have down is sitting. You see, Americans can't sit still, even in the church. We're consumed with service, and rightly so. We should be. We're called to be. But we are often imbalanced, and we're in danger of serving more than sitting. And we must realize that we cannot bear fruit in our service without sitting. We must realize that, well, the words of Christ, we need to keep them in mind, where Christ told us to abide in me and ye shall bear much fruit. So we must be tapped in to the sap of our Savior that we might be able to serve our Savior. Now, our passage today is going to help us reestablish this biblical balance of sitting and serving. And to set our passage in context today, let me point out that prior to our text, the disciples just returned from successful service. And following this, Christ tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, who lovingly served his neighbor. Now, Christ applied this to the lawyer in the context there, and he was speaking to him, and he said, "So and go do likewise. Go do the same thing." And so today we pick up our text with Martha, who has a servant's heart, but who has her priorities out of balance. Our text today speaks to each one of us. Most of us are out of balance because our culture and the church in America has trained us to prioritize serving over sitting at Christ's feet. And because our culture prioritizes serving over sitting, we must reestablish this biblical balance. And so today our text teaches us how to do that. And I'm going to give you our 4 points here. And we reestablish a biblical balance by first, desiring fellowship with Jesus. And second, we reestablish this balance by devoting our attention to Jesus. And third, by denying our anxieties. And lastly, by designating fellowship as our priority. Now, if we will take these truths to heart, we will reestablish this biblical balance in our unbalanced worlds. Well, let's look at our first point, which is that we can reestablish this biblical balance by first desiring fellowship with Jesus. Now we read in verse 38, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Now let's begin by pointing out that God created mankind to be in fellowship with him. In Genesis 1:27, we read there that man was created in God's image, which includes this capacity for deep spiritual fellowship between God and man. God then entered into the covenant of works with Adam, making him the covenant head. And in this covenant, God laid out the promise of life and the consequence of death. And in this covenant, God walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. God interacted. He communed with Adam and Eve, for that's the very purpose that they were created, to commune with them. He wanted to be their God, and he wanted to be their God and they his people. Well, this fellowship was forfeited the moment Adam ate the forbidden fruit. And the breaking of the covenant of works removed Adam and Eve and all their descendants from the garden, from fellowship with God. But God so desired to be in fellowship with his creation that he enacted another covenant, the covenant of grace. And in this covenant, he would restore the fellowship that was lost. And this is the gospel. This is the good news. And it was in seed form in Genesis 3:15, where God told Eve and the serpent in Genesis 3:15 that he would put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, Christ is the seed spoken of here. And Paul points out that when God reiterated the covenant of grace, when he reiterated it to Adam, he pointed out that the promised seed was just that, a seed. It wasn't seeds, plural. And Paul points this out in Galatians 3:16, where he says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Now it was this seed that would come and crush the head of the serpent, that fellowship might be restored. Well, our passage today begins with Christ entering into a certain village. And the village of Bethany, which was the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, with whom Christ had a close relationship, that was the village. And since Jesus was passing through this village, he stopped. He stopped in for some fellowship with his friends. And so we begin our text today with Martha opening the door to find Jesus' friendly face, desiring to be with them. Now, Martha, desiring fellowship with Jesus, welcomed him in. And her welcoming him in tells us of her desire to fellowship with him. And isn't this true of every disciple of Christ? They desire fellowship with Christ. It's a supernatural, it's a spirit-worked desire to want to spend time with Christ. It's a supernatural desire to spend time with his sons and daughters, the saints of God. Well, we see this exemplified in the early church. They loved to be together because they were communing with Christ, and they loved to commune together. And in Acts 16:15, we read of Lydia, who was baptized with her household, and there she constrained the disciples to remain there. You see, Lydia desired to fellowship with God's people. She loved to fellowship with Christ, and thus all those who fellowshipped with him. So desire for fellowship with the saints flows out of our consuming desire to fellowship with Christ. Now the psalmist in Psalm 42:1 compared his desire for fellowship with God to that of a thirsty deer. We all know this verse probably. "As the deer pants after the water brooks, So pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, the people of God thirst for communion with God. Why? Because we live in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We were created with this thirst for fellowship with God, and nothing in this world can quench that thirst. Just as nothing but water can quench our physical thirst. You know, people of every age and every social class have sought to quench their thirst by every way imaginable. But they still die thirsty without Christ, unless they drink from the well of life. At times, we try to quench this desire with the things of the world, even as saints. We even quench it with our serving of God. But only communion with Christ, the living water, will quench our thirst. The believer's thirst for fellowship with God should be so strong that it can be compared to this thirsty deer in dry lands. Or you could compare it to a man who goes hiking on a hot summer day when he runs out of water. You know, I've done that. I've been out hiking before and run out of water, and there's no water to be found. And you become consumed with finding water. You think about water. All you desire is water. Well, the believer's desire for fellowship with God has this intensity. It's all-consuming. I just want to fellowship with Christ. But what if I don't have this desire? Well, to be without a thirst for fellowship with Christ, to not have it as our consuming desire, it reveals where we are at. We're either backslidden in our walk with Christ, or we have no relationship with Christ to begin with. We are, as Jeremiah says, people with uncircumcised hearts. But the true saint, a healthy saint, he cries out with the psalmist in Psalm 73:25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee." He says here, "It is good for me to draw near to God." Is this the cry of your heart? In your heart of hearts, do you really believe that it is good for you to be near to God? Or are there things that you desire more than fellowship with God? Is Christ outside the door of your life today, dear believer? He comes knocking upon it today. As we read in Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." So Christ comes to the door of his church and the hearts of his people knocking. "Open the door like Martha and let me in, and I will sup with you." Is the desire still there after all these years, or has the desire died? Please open the door and let me in to sup with you. "I came that you might have life and abide in me, and I in you." Dear saints, God comes seeking to stir up your desire for fellowship with him today. He comes seeking to fellowship with those for whom he died. Will you not open the door of your heart and your life and let him sup with you this year, this day, this moment? Well, my unbelieving friend, do you desire to know God, your Creator? Do you desire to be restored to fellowship with God? If so, Christ is your only hope. And the cross demonstrates to the whole world and to you just how much God was willing to pay to restore fellowship with his creation. The Father willingly and sacrificially sent his Son to die in your place. He was for a time forsaken on your behalf, that you might be restored. So come to Christ, the head of the new covenant, and enter in through him and sup with him. And dear saints, if desire to reestablish a biblical balance between serving and sitting, we must return to this fellowship with our Savior. We must return to this desire. Well, because our culture prioritizes serving over sitting, we must reestablish this biblical balance. First, by desiring fellowship with Jesus. But secondly, by devoting our attention to Jesus. We read again in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now in verse 38, Martha welcomed Jesus in. And now in verse 39, Luke shifts our attention to her sister. Mary's immediate response was to take a seat at the feet of Jesus and begin communing with him. Now this was countercultural. First, men were the ones who sat at the feet of the rabbi. This was the place for the official disciples of a rabbi, not the place for a woman. A woman's place was to serve the men. And we saw this custom alive and well when we lived in Albania, where the women would wait at the door to serve the men. They would wait and to meet any need that they had. One day I kind of messed with their cultural norms when I served the women of the village we were living in. I served them tea. And they were shocked that I would function in such a way. Well, Christ in our text was not shocked by this countercultural action of Mary. In fact, he did not even address the issue. He just kept on teaching, communing with them. Christ, you see, was not opposed to women fellowshipping with him. That's what he came to restore. Well, Mary sits and listens. She does not interact or ask questions, according to the text. She just absorbs every word. Mary devoted her attention first and foremost to fellowship with Christ, because that is what she desired more than anything else, even over what was expected of her by her culture and her family. So to reestablish a biblical balance between serving and sitting, we must take time to set aside our tasks, even our God-ordained tasks, and even the expectations of our Christian subculture, to sit and listen to the teachings of our Lord. We must devote our attention to Jesus first and foremost. And Mary devoted her attention away from what was culturally expected to what she valued most, fellowship with her Lord. Now, Mary's actions here of sitting demonstrated her devotion, and her listening demonstrated the value she placed on what he had to say. You know, these were the words of life. No one ever spoke like this man, as other people said in the Gospels. Well, this was Jeremiah's response to God's word. We read in Jeremiah 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And Job said in Job 23:12, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You see, Mary desired fellowship just like Martha. But Mary's commitment to service was trumped by her desire for fellowship with Christ. She did not permanently set aside service from this day forward, but she set it aside long enough to fellowship with Christ. And so today we can't sit at the physical feet of Christ, but we can sit and commune with him still. And where is that? The place that we commune with God is in our hearts, through his word, by his spirit. We commune with God as we sit and prayerfully talk with God and sit in church under the teaching of his word. We commune with him as we read his life-giving word. Well, like Martha, you have most likely invited Christ in. But do you sit at his feet? That is, have you devoted your attention to communing with Christ through his word? Or do the God-ordained things, the good things, do they distract you? Do they distract you? Well, if we want to reestablish a biblical balance between sitting and serving, we must devote our attention to fellowshipping with Christ, because before we can effectively serve, we must first sit at his feet. Sitting always precedes serving. Our service flows out of our fellowship with Christ. And without fellowship, there is no life-giving sap that enables us to live a life of fruitful service. Oh, how much life-giving sap would flow in our hearts and into our homes if we would first and foremost devote our attention to fellowshipping with Christ. How many of our homes and lives that are void of the Spirit's presence would be changed overnight if we would but sit and absorb His words of life? You see, when we fail to sup with Him, we forfeit all that He has to offer us. We then bring our tainted hearts into this tainted world, and what do we see grow in this soil but fruit spoiled by sin? We bear the fruit of the flesh. Therefore, because our culture prioritizes serving over sitting, and because this imbalance brings forth rotten fruit, we must devote our attention to Christ. But we must not only devote our attention to Christ, thirdly, because our culture prioritizes serving over sitting, we must reestablish this balance by denying our anxieties. Let's look at verse 40 and 41. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." You see, Luke shifts us away from Mary back to Martha for a contrast. Unlike Mary, who immediately sat down at Christ's feet, Martha went right to work. Martha became instantly distracted by all the responsibilities that were on her plate. She did exactly what was expected of her. Her culture demanded that she stop everything and feed these men who showed up. And this was a cultural norm, as I pointed out, in Albania. If someone showed up at my house, at our door, it was our responsibility to drop whatever we were doing and entertain them. That's just kind of that Mediterranean culture. And Martha responded to this cultural norm, just like every other God-fearing woman would normally have done. And so she began serving. But in light of her guests, she became anxious about all the preparations. And her focus shifted from her desire to fellowship with Christ to being distracted by her service to Christ. And our American culture is very work-oriented. We place a high value on doing. You're often viewed negatively when you're one of these people who sit around. Even in the church, we often place a higher value on serving than we do on sitting in communion with God. Especially in our day, with so many people emphasizing being missional, and which really means just doing things in your community and for your community. And there's nothing wrong with this, and there's nothing wrong with serving, but there must be a balance between serving and sitting. And I think Spurgeon kind of sums it up. He rightly stated when he said, "It is not an easy thing to maintain the balance of our spiritual life. No man can be spiritually healthy who does not meditate and commune." He goes on, "No man, on the other hand, is as he should be unless he is active and diligent in holy service." You see, the Bible creates a tension between service and sitting. The balance between them is exemplified in the life of Christ and the life of Paul and many others. But Christ, even though he was God of very God, stayed in constant communion with the Father, all the while serving the Father to the point of exhaustion and even death on the cross. Paul himself said that he prayed without ceasing, and he called the church to do so. He was in constant communion with God while laying down his life as a sacrifice on the service upon the faith of the elect of God. Well, we too are called to maintain this balance by communing with God while serving to the point of exhaustion. Though we were created for, you know, good works in Christ Jesus, we were first and foremost made sons that we might be in constant communion with the Father. Well, Martha rightly desired fellowship with Jesus in verse 38. But as we see, her desire to fellowship with him was consumed by her service to him. She welcomed him in, but she ignored him in the midst of her service. Martha became so frustrated that Mary wasn't helping her serve that she actually rebukes Jesus. Don't you care? Tell her to serve, basically, and stop sitting around doing nothing. Martha became anxious about her serving when she should have been more concerned about fellowship with Christ. Now, the author of this gospel, who's Luke, uses this account to help his readers avoid the pitfall of neglecting sitting in fellowship with Christ for service in his kingdom. Again, let us remember that this account follows two stories of service. But often it is the good things. It's the God-ordained things that distract us from fellowship with Christ. I say it's the bills, the businesses, and the babes that distract us. They are all good things, but they are not to usurp our fellowship with Christ. And so today, Christ comes to the door of our hearts, and he knocks, and he asks us to let him in. But does he find that we have been ignoring him in our busy lives, in our service to him even? Are we distracted and cumbered about so many things, so many rites and necessary things, that we miss out on partaking of his life-giving words, those words of life that we need to enable us to bear that fruit to his glory? Wives and mothers, are you distracted and cumbered in your service to Christ? Is your God-ordained tasks of keeping your home running and kids clothed and schooled and fed, are they distracting you from your communion with Christ? Do you become frustrated with all that there is to do? Do you become frustrated with those in your home who are not serving enough? Have you cried out to the Lord against the Marys in your home? Husbands and fathers, are you distracted and cumbered in your service to Christ? Is your God-ordained tasks of providing for your home, caring for your family, and all the other good and right tasks, are they distracting you from time with Christ? Do you become frustrated with all the things that need to be done around the house? And young people, has school and sports and social media and relationships and thoughts about your future, have they distracted you from time with Christ? Well, if this characterizes your heart, dear saints, perhaps there is a bit more of Martha in us than we would like to admit. Well, since our culture and residing sin throws us off balance, we all need to reestablish a biblical balance between serving and sitting. And to do so, we must deny our anxieties. We must deny those things that cumber and distract us. We cannot allow the cares and affairs of this world to choke out our communion with Christ and make us unfruitful. So let us labor to sit before we serve. Well, because our culture prioritizes serving over sitting, we must reestablish a biblical balance by not only desiring fellowship with Christ, by not only devoting our attention to Jesus, by not only denying our anxieties that distract us, but lastly, by designating fellowship as our priority. And we read in verse 41 and 42, where the Lord answered her and again said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Verse 42, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." See, in these verses, Christ lovingly rebukes Martha, Martha, Martha. I can see her putting his hand on her shoulder. "You are anxious and you're troubled about many things, Martha, but one thing is needful." There are many things to be done, Martha, but only one is necessary. Communion with me is necessary. You see, we were created for fellowship with God. And when we are out of fellowship with him, our whole life is out of sync. Well, Martha's response demonstrates this reality when she snapped at Jesus, in a sense. Don't you care? Of course Christ cared for her. But he came to fellowship with her, not to be served by her. He came to earth that he might restore that fellowship. Fellowship that would last for an eternity. Well, Christ points out to Martha that Mary made the right choice. She determined that sitting in this context was more important than serving. And if we want to reestablish a biblical balance, we must choose the good portion. We must make communion with Christ the priority of our lives. We all have more to do in a day than we have time. We have many good and God-ordained things to do, but we must choose the good portion. We must fellowship with Christ. We must make it the overriding priority in our lives, to which all other things must bow in submission. Well, Mary sought communion with Christ, which would not be taken away from her. She made it the priority of her life. And this is foundational not only to our relationship with Christ, but it's foundational to our service for Christ. Because without him, we can do nothing. Unless we abide in him, we can do nothing. And so we must abide in the vine, for only then will we bear fruit. So let us make sure that we are not merely sitting still, but that we are sitting still at the feet of Christ, tapping into his life-giving branch. Someone has said that Mary was not praised for sitting still. No, but for sitting still at the feet of Christ. Christians are not praised if they neglect duties merely because they live in retirement or keep at home. It is not sitting, I say, but sitting at Jesus' feet. Had Martha been sitting still, or had Mary been sitting anywhere else, this author says, I doubt not that the Master would have given a word of rebuke. He would never have said that mere sitting still was choosing the good part. It's sitting with Jesus. Sitting with Jesus is foundational to serving. So we must tap into the source of life before we can give life to those around us. We can't be the husbands and fathers that we're called to be. We can't be the wives and mothers that we're called to be simply by sitting or by serving more or serving better. But we must first abide in the vine, sit with Christ. We must make fellowship with Christ our highest priority. And when serving is our priority, things get out of balance when it's not our priority. Tensions rise in our relationships because we feel that people are not serving like us or not as much as we are. We end up frustrated Marthas, you know, telling the Marys in our lives to get their act together, to serve more in the home, to serve more in the church. Well, Martha thought that Mary's priorities were mixed up. But Christ revealed to her that her priorities were wrong. Christ told her, what Mary has chosen will not be taken away. I'm sorry, Martha. I can't tell Mary to help you. She has chosen the better part. How could I tell her to do otherwise? Well, are you a frustrated Martha today? Are you frustrated with the Marys in your life? Well, Christ says to you today, Martha, Martha, choose that which cannot be taken away from you. Choose to fellowship with me. There will always be work to do. More than you will ever be able to do in a single day. So choose to sit with me. I have come to you and knocked, and I've invited you to come and sup with me. You are my child, and I have shed my blood that we might have fellowship again. Will you not come and fellowship with me? Will you not make this a priority in your life? Without me, you can bear no fruit. So please come and sup with me and then go and serve me in the joy and power that I give you. Well, dear saints, because our culture prioritizes serving over sitting. We must reestablish a biblical balance by being more like Mary than Martha. So will you reestablish Mary's balance in your Martha world in 2017? Well, by God's gracious working, through His Spirit, may we as a church and as individuals reestablish this biblical balance. And may we do so by desiring fellowship with Jesus, by devoting our attention to Jesus, by denying our anxieties that distract us, and by designating fellowship as our priority. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we pray that this new year would be a start out and continue throughout the year of a year where we are committed to fellowshipping with you. That at the foundation of this church and every home and every individual's life, we would be a people who sit at your feet. Not just that we could be introspective, but that we could be tapped into the vine, into you, that we might be able to serve the world around us for your glory. Father, we thank you again for your goodness to us, for what Christ has done for us to restore the fellowship with the Father. We just praise you and thank you for all your goodness to us this last year and what you have for us in the year to come. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.